We have exciting news, Ellen.
What is it?
We are both separately, but together, going to be at True Crime Podcast Festival in Denver.
I am so excited.
I'm so excited too.
What are we going to do besides scissor?
Scissor for Jesus.
Jesus loves. Sing the song that we wrote.
Jesus loves to scissor. And I love Jesus.
That's as far as we got. Welcome to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey.
Well, if we weren't canceled before, we're canceled now.
These two are disgusting. Happy Pride. Hello, Tony Award-winning Daisy Egan.
Hello, Emmy Award-winning Ellen Marsh.
Grammy.
Hello, Grammy Award-winning Ellen Marsh.
Welcome to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey. Are you listening to us on the Patreon? Yes, you are. But guess what? We are also on your general feed. So if you've already listened to season 6, can you also follow us on the general feed too?
Please.
Because that would be fun too. Even if you have it, you can just have it and keep it there and then open it on a rainy day.
You know,
it's like when your old friend comes over and diddles your bean for a minute.
That's it. It's like just a comfort. It's like, oh, thank you. I needed my bean diddled.
Thank you.
I'm so grateful that you're here to diddle my bean when I need it.
Also, here's a cooked brie.
Does it have a little cranberry relish on the side?
Yeah.
Stop it.
It can be anything you want.
Oh, forget it. Four. Get it.
We are Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey, the podcast that recaps your favorite, and it should be your favorite reality show, Love is Blind. What is happening with you, Daisy? Give me an update.
I'm very excited about Denver. I have to tell you, I wasn't on the roster, so I reached out to them and I was like, hi, my name is Daisy. I have a podcast. Can I be in your festival? And they were like, oh, yeah, sure. Come on down. And then I looked at the schedule and they had scheduled me absolutely dead last and not in like a closer kind of way, just like 1 o'clock on Sunday. And I was like, well, that's not my favorite. So I emailed them and I was like, hey, I saw that your Saturday night show was blank so far. And so I thought I'd just toss my hat in the ring. I'm funny, fully expecting them to be like, no, thanks. We have Generation Y or whatever they were going to say. And they were like, absolutely. So now I have to write a comedy show.
I want to write it with you.
I think I have a title.
Don't Fuck With Me or I'll Scissor You.
How did you know? Oh, I texted you. I forgot.
Yeah. What is the title?
It's Daisy Egan, Tony Award winner. If you know, you know.
Oh, yeah. You did text me that, actually.
I did.
But what is the theme going to be? You did Alcatraz, which I love.
Oh, the episode, I believe, is going to be The White Witch of Rose Hall because it's goofy and silly and fun and we can get lots of laughs, hopefully.
Do you need help making a deck?
Yes, probably. The theme is mostly going to be, it's going to start with the people complaining that I mentioned my Tony Award too much and how now they've just created a monster and how like trolls, all they do is like fuel me and I just become more powerful. I've already wrote like a third of it. I'm very excited.
Am I in it?
Mm-hmm.
What's my part? What are you looking at? What, Daisy?
Hold on. Something's, I have to.
What are you, you're not doing anything.
No, I.
There's
I,
nothing.
No, my,
well, you're,
my.
You're avoiding the question.
No, no, my.
Daisy, what are you doing?
This thing
yeah.
was
yeah.
stuck, and so I was getting it out.
Okay, now so, it's unstuck, so okay, tell me what so my part is.
I mention you.
But am I in it? Like, in it? Like, do I go, like, you're like, Ellen, come on stage, like that?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you looking away when I'm asking you a question?
No, because there was a thing here, and I just
what
had to make
what is the thing? Tell me what the thing
it's
is.
It's my plant, and I haven't been here in a few days, so I was just
You're lying!
No, I'm not.
That's what you do when you lie.
No, I don't.
Just, what if you went like this? What if you were like, no?
No.
Are you like, pretend that it's frozen? All right, can we get down to business? Because we got shit to do.
Let's get down to business.
Joey and I have our live show on Friday night. What time? I don't know. Check the schedule.
Am I in it?
However, you are in it.
I am?
Yeah.
Oh.
Check the schedule, and if you cannot make the whole festival, but you still want a live show ticket, we might have some. But come and see us, because you know what? Daisy and I went to a festival not long ago, and we did not get to do fun stuff.
No, we did the opposite.
We did the opposite. So we're actually going to have time to do fun stuff like see people and talk to people.
And scissor.
And have fellowship. Did you say scissor?
No.
Don't say scissor.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
Because then people are going to come and they're going to be like, you said you were going to scissor.
You said you were going to scissor me. I'm here.
Season 2, episode 9.
Final adjustments.
Final adjustments will be made.
So we left off with Mama Nan. Shane was walking in, meeting Natalie's parents, and Mama Nan had a shocked look on her face. And that's where they stopped the last episode. So we pick back up there.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, is this Shane?
Yeah, this is Shane.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Is that for you?
Can
you
hug it?
How are you?
I'm good. Okay, how are you?
Nice. Is that for you?
Thank you so much. Beautiful.
How you doing, sir?
Hey, Shane.
I'm Shane. Nice to meet you, man.
He's like, hello, hiya, how are you? These are for you. It's nice to meet you. Thank you. Hello. Like, just the doofiest cartoon character there has ever. And he's like,
well, Mama Nan says, oh, my God, nice to meet you. And I was like, Mama Nan, I know we're on a separate episode, but I invite you to rewind the clock a minute and a half when you said you were going to need a stretcher.
Yeah.
Because you were about to. Hi, nice to meet you. You just said you were going to pass out and you were going to need, what are those things called, Claire?
Defibrillator.
Those things. You said that and we were all here and now you got as a horse of a different color.
She makes a 180.
I love it when people say they made a 360. I'm like.
So you came back around.
You came back. You went in a circle.
You were.
That's what happened.
So you changed your mind.
And you came back to it because that would be 360.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you might as well have not brought it up.
Now, remember, Natalie did not tell her parents about being on Love is Blind. She did not tell her parents about the experiment. Maybe she thought nothing was going to come of it and she didn't want to have an awkward conversation. Well, now we're having all the awkward conversations.
Yeah.
Including the what drew you to him, what's going on, what's the story with these gums. It's a lot.
So Natalie says she didn't want to tell her parents anything beforehand because she wanted them to see how she and Shane interact with each other, which I guess means she wanted them to see her constantly threatening to murder him.
His life. Yeah.
And I thought, like, maybe that's how her parents interact with each other.
Interesting point.
Uh-huh. Because Don says it's good to like each other because you want your wife to be your best friend. And Nan says, ask me if it's the same for me.
Apples in trees. Yeah. That has to be where and why Natalie is so mean-spirited.
Yeah.
She's going to get arrested. She's hostile.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're a piece of shit.
I
want to put
you
on a skewer and eat your skin because you're such a piece of shit. Fuck me. But you're such a piece of disgusting shit. I'd pick you up and I'd put you in a poop bag at the dog park and I'd put you in the garbage, but you're so hot. Fuck me.
Yeah, it's healthy. It's really healthy. Nan says she feels better after meeting him and she tells him that he has a bubbly personality. And Natalie says, what about me?
Yeah.
Nan basically says that Natalie has sides to her that only she knows. And she said that growing up, the only way she would know that Natalie was mad at her is that Natalie would just make this little mad face. And Natalie says, yeah, I keep in my anger and then I let it go. I think that woman is so filled with rage, just unresolved rage that she has pushed down and pushed down and pushed down. She's ready to pop.
Yeah. She takes it out in the bedroom because Shane keeps alluding to this crazy sex they have. I mean, maybe she, like, I don't know. Maybe she uses his dick as chopsticks. I have no idea. But it's wild and it's crazy. And I think she uses her beaver and takes out her aggression on that dam.
Yeah. Maybe she has vagina dentata. Have you ever seen that movie, Teeth?
I don't do scary movies.
It's not, really.
If you have to question it, it is.
It's awesome. It is such a good movie. Ellen, it's about a woman who has teeth in her vagina.
I already do. There are men who have gone in there never to return. And Natalie is really clearly close to her dad, which is sweet because I don't have one and I'm fine. But they have a very sweet heart to heart. He seems really accepting. Like, it's very strange. It really feels like Nan worked. He was a stay-at-home dad, which is very interesting for Asian cultures. And we can see that dynamic play out in real life. You know, he's very sweet and very tender. And Nan is not.
She's not. Nan is business.
Yeah.
She tells us in confessional that she needs time and she's nervous. And then Shane and Nan are having a little kiki. And she's like, listen, marriage isn't just about love. It's not always easy. And Shane is like,
yeah, yeah, bro. Yeah, I get it. It's like, it's not just me anymore. It's not just Nala anymore. It's us. Like, together, bro. I totally got it.
There's this new feature where you can pin comments.
Mm-hmm. I bought the cats a fancy auto litter box and Gizmo is laying in it. Nice.
Okay.
Teeth from whence you queef.
50 Shades of Natalie.
Piranha twatter.
Dick therapy.
Chompers in the twatters.
Teeth is best. Teeth from whence you... I'm going to be so obnoxious with this new feature.
Yeah, Teeth is a great movie. We should live stream it. We should have a Teeth watch party with you
watching it.
No, you should. It's so good.
So now we're 8 days from the wedding and we're with Salary. And Sal tells us that he and Mallory had an argument and they slept in separate rooms, which sounds like heaven.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should all sleep in separate rooms. I don't know why you weirdos do that. You know, my ex-boyfriend... Well, my ex-husband and I slept in separate rooms because we hated each other. Mm. My ex-boyfriend and I, we sleep with separate blankets.
That's smart.
It was really great because everybody's, you know, body heat is different.
Yes.
But I think we should normalize sleeping in separate rooms.
I agree.
God, boys are disgusting.
Sal tells us that an ex showed up to his sister's apartment.
So many questions to come. Keep going.
He's like, she was hurt and she went off about anything and everything. And his sisters were in shock because of course they were. Like, who the fuck does that? And it made me wonder immediately if maybe they weren't totally broken up. So Sal knocks on Mallory's door and she's like, oh, hey, what's up? And I fucking hate, you know what's up. You guys had a fight and he's coming to talk. Don't be like, oh, hey, what's up? What's up is we need to fucking talk is what's up.
Right. When you and Kurt have a fight, who's the first person who says we have to have a talk?
Me. Always.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
He's a sulker?
No, he really does just sort of let things.
He's like, oh, I didn't know we were still.
Yeah, yeah.
You hung on to this?
Yeah. Oh, okay. It'll be like 2 weeks later and I'll be like, all right, we need to talk. And he's like, what?
Right.
And I'll be like, remember 2 weeks
two
ago?
Weeks?
And he's like, no, I don't remember 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Daisy, you've had a lot of therapy. Why on earth would you wait 2 weeks?
Sometimes it takes a minute for things to hit me. Like for me to be like, wait a minute. Like literally, I'm not going to say what it was because this is a comedy podcast. But literally the other morning I woke up and my brain was like, let's unpack traumas that happened more than 20 years ago right now.
Sure.
And yeah. Like I was laying there thinking like, oh, I haven't actually resolved any of this. So it takes me a long time.
You should go on a mushroom journey. I know you've done it.
I have.
Are you mad at me for anything like that you need to bring up?
No.
It just my text back time?
Yeah.
Were you looking away?
No. I'm looking at this thing because it just caught my eye.
Why are you looking at the thing when I'm talking to you?
No,
though?
Because no, I just like got distracted. But no, I'm not mad at you about anything.
Daisy, when you look away,
yeah.
And like, what you do is, I don't know if you do this,
uh-huh.
But like I'll ask you a serious question. Uh-huh. And then to avoid the serious question, you'll look at something inconsequential. Something that doesn't need your immediate attention.
But you don't know that it's inconsequential.
No, I do.
No, but maybe there's like a spider.
Is there?
Uh-huh.
Kill it. And bring it back and show me.
No, no, you can't kill a spider. It's bad luck.
In what religion?
All of them.
Which religion are you? That one. Whatever one you are.
Yes.
It's that one.
Uh-huh. Yes, I am. That.
So they go have this conversation and Sal's ex showed up to Sal's sister's house.
And Mallory's upset. She tells him, it's hard for me to understand why somebody would just go to that kind of extreme if there wasn't like a promise that she was your girlfriend. She's picking a fight.
Well, if I didn't think Mallory was so manipulative, I'd be like, yeah, girl, get it.
Yeah.
He does owe you an explanation. But I just always think Mal is looking for an exit strategy.
She is absolutely looking for an exit strategy.
So I don't think she's affected at all.
No. Sounds like we weren't together exclusively. I was upfront with her that we could both see other people. He knew he was going to do the show for a year, but he kept casually dating. And this woman is unhappy about it. And he totally takes the fall for it. He's like, maybe I should have said something. Maybe I should have cut things off with her, but I didn't.
She does pose a fair question, which is the question that I would ask, which is, if you guys were so casual, how does he know where your sister lives? And how is she comfortable enough to just show up And did she bring a spinach dip?
Or a cooked rabbit. I mean, maybe she's totally fucking unhinged.
But she definitely knew where they lived. Mm-hmm. So there must have been some kind of introduction, some kind of bread broken, some kind of meal. I don't know.
Yeah.
If I cared about this couple, which I don't, because Mallory is so checked out and I'm pretty sure Sal just wants to be a famous ukulele player. Mm-hmm. I would probably investigate more and commit more of my emotional self to it.
Yeah.
But also I thought it was weird that woman, whoever that woman was, badmouthed Sal to his sisters.
Yeah, it's really fucking strange and it's hard to know what any of it really is. Mallory right. says the whole thing makes her wonder why he did the experiment. There's someone else you want to do or somewhere else you want to be. Just tell me.
Right. Joey and I cover Love After Lockup. Mm-hmm. And there's a girl, Branwyn, who just did that to her husband, Chaz. Was like, oh, this is my out.
Yeah. You know what? I've been here. I have been in relationships that I've desperately tried to talk myself into being in it. And then I've desperately tried to find an out just because I was a coward.
Right. If you were let's say you were trying to find I was just off the top of my head, mm-hmm. An out from being on a podcast with someone. How would you say that? I just threw that out. Just if you're I don't want to do this anymore. And then.
Yeah.
How would you do that?
Well, to be honest, it would depend on who my podcasting partner was. Is it somebody that I'm scared of a little bit? Then I would probably just suck it up and just do it for the rest of time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that sounds good.
But, otherwise I would just be I can't stand you. I'm quitting. That.
Okay. So if someone did that in a I don't know, grab bag collab meeting, you'd be okay. Like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who is it?
No, there's nobody at your door.
I can't do it.
Nobody can do it. Just me.
I can fucking do it, Daisy.
Oh, can you? I guess we'll see.
So now we're with Deep Dee and Shake, and they say the family visits could not have gone better. But Shake still finds himself hesitating when it comes to the physical aspect of their relationship.
Yeah. They are out having colorful drinks somewhere public, and Deep Dee's like, I loved meeting your family, and Shake is yelling for some reason at the top of his fucking lungs, stiff as a fucking board. He's like, I am also happy to have met your parents. It also was a good experience for me too as well.
You know, in those old movies where it's like, hey, ye, hey, ye, the king will be entering, the guy with one line, mm-hmm. that is Shake.
Yeah.
Deep Dee says that she sees their life being magical.
I don't know what planet she's on.
Well, I get it. Because it's like that time that David Copperfield made the Statue of Liberty disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And it's exactly like that. Only he made Shake's kindness, social graces, grace, eloquence, made all that disappear. So I definitely get the magical reference.
I was going to say, maybe for her, if there's some illusion happening where she's seeing a different thing than we are seeing.
Magic. It is magic.
I guess it must be.
Olivia Newton-John sang about it.
Have to believe we are magic.
Deep Dee reminds Shake that their wedding is pretty soon. And then Shake, again, yelling at the top of his lungs and stiff as a board.
You are the most incredible girl I've ever, ever met. In all these qualities that... some of which I sought out, and a lot of which I never sought out, but now that I've seen, I'm like, wow, I want everything we have, but I also want to feel an intense physical connection. Between you and me, the physical part of the relationship, we should be on top of each other nonstop, right? It's not instinctual to me right now.
You're everything I look for! Yeah. He lays it on as thick as he possibly can, and then he takes a fucking left turn as hard as he possibly can, and he's like, but I don't want to fuck you!
He says, between you and me. I was bro.
Uh-uh.
Between you and me and anyone else who will fucking listen to you.
Including all of America.
She's the most amazing girl I ever met, but the physical part is just lacking.
She's like my auntie. In confessional, Deep Dee tells us that she loves him so much. and she wishes he would show her affection.
Oh, could you imagine?
No.
She says they have not had sex yet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, listen, there are people like Brittany and Kenneth who are like, we're not having sex. I respect that. But Deep D's like in the corner throbbing for it.
Yeah.
And I also feel like he hasn't given it a chance.
No, he hasn't even tried. Like, what I wrote down was like, get drunk. Take some fucking ecstasy.
Yeah.
Do something and just
fuck
like
her.
Make it happen.
Just fuck her. What if it's amazing?
You're a dude, for fuck's sake. Like, you can get fucking hard at the drop of a fucking hat. Just get hard and fuck her. I bet you your mind will change.
Right. Yeah. Just do it.
Yeah.
Just literally do it. Like, if they had sex and it was like a flop, I mean,
sure.
I always give the first sex a pass.
Okay.
If it's, you know, not great.
Right.
If it's bad, we're not returning.
Right.
Like, we're not coming back. One Yelp star on the review.
Yeah.
But if it's like fine,
yeah,
you have to give it three goes.
I agree. She says to Shake, don't they say you should marry your best friend? No. Listen, I don't want to marry my best friend. I don't want to fuck my best friend. I know enough about how my best friend likes it. There's no universe in which I want to fuck that person. Yuck.
Yeah.
So in confessional, he says that even if the physical connection never grows, it's being overshadowed by the emotional connection. And I don't know who he's trying to convince, himself or us. He says he loves this girl. He loves waking up next to her and coming home to her. And this is where I said he needs to just suck it up and try to fuck her.
Michaela just said this in the chat.
Yeah.
My friend told me recently a guy she invited over said he didn't eat puss. She immediately called him. And absolutely.
Good.
No, that's a non-starter.
This is horrible. My best friend, when I was a teenager, lost her virginity to a guy who told her, first of all, he was an adult and she was not, that her pussy didn't look right.
Not pussy shaming. Every pussy's different.
Yeah. He was like, it's not supposed to look like that.
That's horrible. That's mm-hmm. probably stayed with her for a long time.
I'm sure it fucking did. She became a heroin addict. Oh, that poor girl. I feel so fucking bad
Delete
for her.
That. This is a comedy podcast. All I gotta say is the backdoor bitches of this show especially get a lot.
They really do. He says, ultimately, you want a best friend, right? 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 Like, that's what you want, right? It should be like that, right? That's the prize? Please tell me that's the prize, right? That's the goal, right? 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 He asks Deep D if she understands the paradox of choice.
This is so condescending. Shut the fuck
Shut
up.
Shut the fuck up, dude.
This is so condescending to me.
He's like, well, basically, life is about choices. And human beings love to make choices. But sometimes, there's too many choices.
What? What are you fucking talking about? You have one choice here. One choice.
Yeah.
Fuck her or don't.
Right. And you should just fuck her.
Yeah. You're not suffering from a fucking too many choices.
Yeah, baby. That's it. So now we're at Ayana and Jerry.
Give me your answer, do.
And they're prepping to meet Ayana's parents. The way Ayana describes her parents, I would have thought that they were just coming back from their January 6th hearings. Like, she's like, they're traditional. They're very conservative. I am scared of Ayana's parents before Ayana's parents even get here.
I know. She doesn't do much to, like, calm his nerves. He says he wants to make the best impression, and then he calls her dad, Marky Mark. She's like, please don't do that.
Don't
please.
Do that.
She reminds us that these are her adoptive parents and they adopted her when she was 22. And they show up and her mom is 5 years older than her, if she's a day.
Her mom? I would card her.
Yes.
I would be like, you cannot have that alcohol,
yeah,
ma'am, because are you even 21?
You are a child. So right away, Michael says, this is probably going to be a lot different than meeting Jarrett's family.
Well, I think he says that because Michael walks in. Is he carrying a cat? He's got a thing and a cat bed. Did he bring a cat with him? He has a cat bed and he has a little travel cat holder.
I didn't even notice that.
Like, are we going to address it? He was like, I can come over, but I am not leaving Mr. Whiskers.
I can't leave Miss Tinkles at home.
So don't even ask because he's coming with me. We don't see the cat again, but he absolutely is carrying a little cat bed. I have the same one. And a cat carry-all.
Maybe his cat is like severely diabetic and can't, like, has to get a shot every 2 hours.
I mean, the 2 hour thing isn't. My old neighbor used to have a diabetic cat and I would shoot the cat. I mean, not shoot the cat to kill. No one spoke about it. No one addressed it. He wasn't like, and I brought my cat.
Oh, I brought Mr. Jingles.
He walked in with Mr. Mistopheles and then didn't say another fucking word. Why are we okay with this? Nobody knows. Okay. Well, chalk that up to I noticed the dumbest shit.
Ayana says Jerry TT's parents are really into the whole marriage thing. And then she says they've been grooming him since he was a boy. And I wanted her to say that louder for the folks in the back, because talking to your little kids about them getting married is the absolute definition of grooming.
Mm-hmm.
Straight people groom their kids so fucking hard.
Yeah. It creeps me out how much my uncles would be like, you got a boyfriend? When I was like 7.
Well, you remember when Britney Spears was on Star Finder? What the hell was that show? Star Search. Starfinder.
Oh, yeah.
And Ed McMahon. So Marty Thomas was her.
I do know this, Daisy. I am also friends with Marty Thomas.
Yeah.
He beat her. He's our friend. He actually lived with my friend Michelle, who had the diabetic cat. Marty was my next door neighbor on 49th Street.
That's very strange.
And Marty was in Secret Garden with Daisy.
Yeah. And Ed McMahon, when the two of them were up there waiting for their scores, asked Britney if she had a boyfriend. And she was like, And that was just pretending all of the rest of her fucking career.
Right.
Gross. So Jen is like, your parents want you to be married, but do you want to be married? And he's like, oh, yeah, that's the ultimate goal. And she's like, but right now? And he says, I'm ready to settle down and start a family and be married and do those marriage things.
You know, like what? Pay bills?
Yeah.
And anal?
Oh, no. I don't
want to. On your birthday?
No, I don't want to do those things.
No, they don't do those things.
Wait, that's what I have to do?
On his birthday every year, yeah.
So Jen is like, but what about Ayana specifically? And he says the thing again about he loves her resilience and her passion. And Jen's like, okay, resilience is fine. But what about like her personality?
I don't know why that word presses me in such a position. And I don't know where we heard that before, because my mind is couscous right
Same.
Now. But that was his first thing, her resilience.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Because I have a very specific reaction to that word, and I am not well. So I don't know if I am the majority here or I'm just weird. What do you think about when someone says something like that?
I mean, I think a nicer, sort of more personal way of saying that is like, she's so strong.
Okay, now, honest, real talk.
Yeah.
Tell me if I'm like way out in left field. When someone says the word resilience and I am damaged, to me, he's saying, no matter what I put her through, she's going to make it. She's the one who can put up with all my bullshit.
Yeah.
She's strong enough to handle me. I'm going to put her through some shit. Am I putting that on there? Seriously, am I putting that layer on there? It's just a weird word, my guy.
Yeah.
It's a weird word to describe a very lovely woman.
You know what he could say is, this woman has been through so fucking much in her life. And she's faced some clearly pretty awful people, and she's been passed around, and she's so full of joy. And
look how cheery and sweet she is. She's fine. Look at her. She's fine. She's quirky. She's sweet. I could do some shit to her. She'll
be
quirky and sweet. I'm not going to do some of that bad shit, but I'm going to do some shit to her.
Yikes, bro.
Am I reaching?
I don't know.
The minute that word comes out, I don't know. Nothing has happened to me surrounding that word. Resilience? I don't know. It's like your setting powder should be resilient.
Your deodorant should be resilient.
Not your partner. Or maybe it's like adjective number 6.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
adjective number 1?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like it's just sort of his go-to, because he's like, well, she had a hard life, so what can I say? She's resilient.
Yeah.
Jerry TT explains that the process is hard to understand, but it works because they have unmatched energy together and they're so compatible, and he likes her quirkiness. And Jen asks if they've had an argument yet. And Ayana's like, well, we've had some conflicts. And Michael is like, what? And she's like, well, he likes to go out and I like to stay home. And Jen's like, okay, so you're going to have to cut that shit out. Like, you right. know that, right? Like, you're going to have to, we're going to be done with that. And he's like, oh, yeah, absolutely, 100%. Michael asks where he sees him and Ayana in a year with, like, all the in-laws. And he gives him the right answer. He's like, oh, the blended family, and we're all together and we're all happy. And they love that. And then Netflix gives us some upbeat guitar music to let us know that, like, okay, the parents We're happy.
You know, I was nervous about Ayana's parents based on her description alone, but I actually thought they were lovely and warm.
Yes.
They were a little guarded. I mean, they weren't like Milton's parents that were conducting a job interview, or Nick's parents that were in an interrogation room, quite literally. With Fred Armisen there, I can't even talk about it. They were a little more analytical, and I think they were straight to the point and firm.
Yeah, I would be the same way.
I don't think they flowered their language. They were like, right, but what do you like about her?
Yeah.
I think they were really direct. I don't know. I was much more nervous about them.
They were appropriately guarded and asked the right questions. And then Michael says, okay, well, everyone has to start somewhere, so I guess this is your start.
Right.
So now we're 7 days out, and we're meeting Shane's mom. Natalie says she knows Shane's mom is the most important person in his life, so this is really important. And then in confessional, Shane seems absolutely fucking plastered. Just hammered to the wind.
Wait, did you think?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't think so.
You didn't?
I am such an idiot. No, I just thought he was excited.
No, I think they did this confessional after the lunch, and I think he drank a shit ton of white wine, and he's like, Natalie's me and my mom today. It's a big deal. My mom knows if I bring some home, it's a big deal.
I don't know. I'm getting a little warm, fuzzy place in my heart for Shane. Well, first of all, you know, his dad just died.
Yeah.
He is so close to his mom.
And also sort of knowing what happens later.
Right. I try to note the episode like I don't know anything that's happening on the outside.
It's hard. It's hard.
But I don't know.
They walk in and they meet up with Mama Karen. She stands up and hugs Shane. And the captions said, both grunt happily.
I didn't see that.
That was like Netflix.
Yeah.
Come.
Like they're the ogres. Yeah, like they're Shrek.
What is happy grunt? Come on.
Come on.
So Shane asks his mom if she's excited to be there. She says, I am, but I'm nervous. And Natalie's like, I'm nervous too. But Shane has said so many great things about you. And Mama Karen says, same. And then, yeah, she's like, what made you pick each other?
And every couple has their same spiel. Like, you don't need to show it to us again.
No,
Netflix.
We got this.
Like, they do the same thing. They're like, okay, so then I'm going to say your resiliency.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to say it was just like, it was kismet. It all fell together.
Yeah.
30 seconds into this conversation. Now, we don't know if it's really 30 seconds into this conversation or it's editing. Shane goes, Bab.
Yes.
Can I ask you a question?
Depends.
Do you approve of Natalie?
Do you approve of Natalie?
I was like, give them a second.
Of course they approve of Natalie.
Yeah?
Of course I do. Why would I not? She seems very genuine.
Okay, so this is where I'm sort of turning for a moment on Shane, because turning in a good way, because the thing about Shane is he is not a bad guy.
No.
He is not Shake.
No.
He's not a liar. He's not a bad guy. He is, I see a little boy. I see a little 12-year-old boy who needs compliments, who needs his mom, who wants his mom to like his girlfriend.
Yeah. It's funny. It's like he's a mama's boy, but not like Kyle.
Right. You can tell he's gone through some shit, but it's not at the hands of his mom. I don't know. I just look at him, and maybe it's because being out of it for a couple years, he's not deceived Natalie in any way.
No.
They are not compatible.
No.
They do not give each other what they need.
No.
And that frustrates him. That's like when we got in that fight in Mexico,
mm-hmm.
and he was like, forget it, and walked away.
Come on, bro.
It was because she wasn't meeting him where he is at. Mm-hmm. On this rewatch, I have more animosity towards Natalie than I do towards Shane.
Yeah. I don't think I ever had any animosity towards Shane. I was just like, this bro.
Right.
And yeah, and he even says, like, leaving his mom so soon, you know, to go do this experiment so soon after his dad died was the hardest fucking thing. Like, he wants to take care of his mom. He's very, very sweet. And in confessional, he says he's happy his mom is so happy, and all he wants is for her to be a grandma, and he wants her to see his kids and his wedding. And then back at the table, he stands up and announces that he has to take a number two.
No.
No.
Absolutely not.
No. What are you, five? My 11-year-old does that.
He goes, I gotta go take a spooky dookie.
Why don't you be full on gross and just go see you get a draining lizard?
Just tell me you got a pout of your nose. That's all I need to know.
I don't need to know the details.
Tell me you're going to the little boys. That's it.
Yeah, go to the little boys. I don't need any of the details. You know what I didn't ask for? Details.
Just the fact that I know you're gonna touch your penis. I don't wanna know.
I didn't ask if it was prickly.
I don't care.
I didn't ask if it slid right out. I didn't ask any of those questions.
I don't wanna know. 1, 2, 3. I don't wanna know.
You know what? Up until today, I didn't even know boys pooped.
I didn't either.
I just thought dogs pooped. I know women don't poop.
I don't poop.
I don't poop.
Come on.
But now I learned that Shane poops.
Now I have to know that men poop.
I guess men poop.
Oh,
yeah. You learn something new every day. Guess what I learned? Men poop. I thought it was just bunny rabbits and dogs. Here I am. Look at this.
So the women are speechless. And then Karen finally goes, seriously? And Natalie calls him a sicko. And then Shane says, okay, Montezuma's revenge lady. And Natalie goes, look at me. Look at me. Shane, look at my face.
Look at this.
Look at me.
Why, Yoda?
He goes, I know, I'm dead. I get it.
She's like, I'm going to break your dick.
I am going to shit on your face.
I am going to piss on these walls.
I am going to Montezuma's revenge all over the bed.
6 days. We're 6 days out. And here
Dizzy, it's your favorite day.
My favorite part. I love it.
It's wedding dress shopping day.
Yay.
It's Daisy's favorite day. Daisy's got a favorite day. And it's wedding dress day.
Yay. I can't wait for this. I love it.
It's your favorite. Daisy, you can do this whole section because it's your favorite.
Okay. First of all, we have to address the first
Get
thing.
Get it? A dress.
Because they're buying a dress.
She's so funny.
Vanessa Lachey is wearing a rubber dress.
It's a rubber
dress. It's rubber.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of any other material that could possibly be. I was like, maybe it's just like, no, it's rubber.
Yeah, it's a rubber dress.
She is wearing a rubber A-line, you know, shirt dress. Like normally that would be a beautiful, I love that style dress. It's gorgeous. It looks good on everybody. It is rubber. It looks like a deflated balloon.
Do you know what happened that day?
What?
So they got to set.
Yeah.
And her stylist was to come meet her with like her 15 options
right.
with like clothes, shoes, jewelry, hairstyle.
Right.
And the stylist got in a boating accident. Everybody's fine.
Oh, no.
Because she was boating because her uncle has a boat on the lake and they weren't shooting till later. And she was like, I make the best like pasta salad.
Yeah.
And it was a whole thing. She didn't make it. And then they were like, what do we do? The stylist isn't here with Vanessa Lachey's options.
Yeah.
And they were like, we have this deflated balloon. Do you want to put it on?
Uh-huh.
And Vanessa was like, I'll make it work. Like that.
Yeah.
And then they were like, and we're rolling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's called showbiz, kid.
Wow. Wow. Thank you. Thanks for helping with that.
I know the behind the scenes.
You really do.
Yeah. I know the behind the scenes of everything.
So for those of you who haven't listened to another season of this before, just so you know, in the show, they intersperse the men and the women buying their shit. But here, for your sort of listening ease, we like to do it separately because it's just too annoying to cut back and forth. So we're going to start with the women because that's where we start. We cut to all the women and Danielle looks terrified.
There's also two cupcakes
There's
for
champagne.
The women to fight over.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, we got champagne and snacks. And it's two cupcakes that the fucking sound grip pulled out of their bag.
Later on, we get a tight close-up of some chocolate chip croissants, but there's really no way of knowing if they're actually there in that room.
Right.
So Vanessa reminds them of why they're here. She won't shut the
Nobody
fuck
cares.
Up, just in case everybody forgot. She asks Mallory who she brought with her, and she's like, unfortunately, my sister and my mother couldn't make it, so I brought my two besties.
Why do you think the sister and the mother couldn't make it?
They don't like the whole thing.
They were like, you're going wedding dress shopping? Have fun.
Go.
We want no part of it.
We're not even going to be at the wedding. So Ayanna brought Jerry TT's sister, Deja. Vanessa asks Deja if she approves of Ayanna. And she's like, absolutely. She's like, I can tell as soon as I meet a person if they're a good person. And I don't think I would do very well. Because when I meet people, my face is like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because of the social anxiety.
It's funny because I've known you for a really long time.
Yeah.
And your face hasn't stopped being like that yet.
It's just stuck.
Is it going to? No.
No.
It's...
Do you remember that first podcast convention that we did when we were meeting down in the lobby on the first night and I walked out of the elevator and realized the bar was jam-packed with listeners and I didn't realize everybody was there?
Yeah.
And I walked in and I fucking turned around and left and I took some Xanax and I came back. I was like, nope, nobody warned me.
No, you need the face fixing medicine. You need the face fixing stuff.
And then everyone was like, are you okay? And I was like, no, no.
But give her 20 and she will be.
Just give me a shot of tequila. I'll be all right. Natalie brought her sister and her mom and Shane's mom.
So sweet.
Poor Mallory. This is news to Mama Nan, who's been standing next to this random white lady who doesn't seem to be attached to anybody else. And they're like, yeah. Oh. And so they meet each other and they're very excited to meet each other. And Vanessa says, we bring family together here.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, where's Mallory's family? But okay. For some reason, we don't get to meet whoever Danielle and Deep Dee brought in this moment of introductions. We'll meet them later, but it's a little weird.
Well, my favorite interaction is Mama Nan talking to Karen, Shane's mom. She's like, you know, my husband really likes Shane. Me, not so much.
Yeah.
I don't like this whole thing. Mm-hmm. But Don likes Shane, you know? And so that's fun.
And Karen says, Shane is very loving. He wouldn't hurt a fly. He loves his family. And Mom and Nan is like, okay, that's a big check in the plus column because family's important. And in confessional, Mom and Nan tells us she was a little skeptical about how anyone could fall in love that quickly. But after meeting Shane's mom, she feels assured and comforted. Jerry T's sister, Deja, tells us in confessional that she's a little nervous because Jerry TTTT can be very nonchalant and relaxed, but inside is freaking the fuck out.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, she's not sure about she that? Believes him when he says she's ready.
And Mama Wendy, Danielle's mom, is here, and she continues,
oh my God,
to be embarrassing / reality TV gold.
Yeah.
We really have to pick a side here because she's giving us drama.
Mm-hmm.
She's giving us pull quotes.
Uh-huh.
But she's crazy. So we really got to decide where we stand on her.
That's fair. They're looking at dresses, and Mama Wendy's like, I like this one because it's flattering. See the cut? It's flattering.
So like if someone were to have broad shoulders.
Or like a big belly or something. Like, just saying.
Or hippie.
Hips.
If someone was hippie.
Just saying this dress would be flattering.
It would be a perfect dress for someone who needed a flattering dress.
Okay, try this one on. Danielle and her sister are both like, no. She's like, but yeah. And they're like, no. And she's like, well, but yeah. In confessional, Mama Wendy tells us that she's been hoping Danielle would find someone for a long time and that Danielle has been hoping. And to see her get past her emotional barriers and walk down the aisle with someone who she's developed a deep connection with, whatever. She's happy for her. Deep Dee's with her sister Divya and her friend Laura. Laura, I think, is a fucking Netflix plant.
Oh, completely. Yeah. She's like, everything, she's just like, so what are you thinking about the nuptials?
You met in the pods and had a deep emotional connection. Obviously, it's worked before. And obviously, there was something about him because you said yes.
And obviously, there should be another show coming up in the fall called The Ultimatum.
And I could be on it. Deep Dee says it's the hardest decision she's ever had to make. And Laura reminds her that she's never even introduced. I mean, she's literally there for exposition. She's like, you've never introduced a man to your family before. And Deep Dee's like, yeah, it went so well. He fit in. It was comfortable. And Laura says, comfort is huge. And then Deep Dee says, we are so comfortable. That's why it's confusing. But Laura does not let her finish that thought.
Right.
Because the end of that thought is probably like, we're too comfortable. Like, there's no passion.
Right. Well, Deep Dee says that Shake never initiates any of the physical stuff.
Well, so Laura says, you're meant to marry your best friend. Shut up. Shut up. Yeah. Knock it off.
Why have we made that a thing?
I don't know. But this woman is clearly fucking struggling. Like, her fiance doesn't want to have anything to do with her physically. This is not a time to say that to her.
Right.
And Deep Dee's like, right, right. And she's like, you know, the passion isn't there like it was in the reveal and in Mexico. Was there passion in Mexico?
No.
I mean, she was sort of on him.
They were kissing in the pool.
Yeah, she was kind of on him.
But she didn't see his face, which was like...
like a big mouth, you know? Bass.
Yeah, he was like kissing her and she was like, oh, and he was like...
looked like some sort of like dark house monster.
And then she's going to look back and be like, oh, he wasn't enjoying those kisses.
Not at all. Laura is like, well, you better figure this shit out because you only have a week. Deep Dee says if they get married, it is for life. And now we find out that Deep Dee's really only at this dress fitting for show because she's actually already picked out a traditional Indian wedding outfit. And we have a montage of her trying on these really gorgeous, colorful, beautiful Indian bridal outfits.
Do you remember the time that Rabia bought me a traditional Pakistani outfit and then you whispered that I was racist?
Yeah. No, I wasn't saying that you were racist. I was saying that Rabia was racist.
Rabia was. And I was racist too? Or I was alleviated from racism?
Well, she was like...
encouraging the racism.
Encouraging appropriation of her own culture, which is definitely like internalized racism.
Right. Okay, yeah. I just wanted all the listeners to remember.
I think also she was just trying to set you up so that when you had pictures of it, everyone would be like, you're She's appropriating racist. Her culture. Right, exactly.
I love that dress
She
chose.
There's one that I liked a little bit better, the other white one, but they're all just gorgeous. They're gorgeous. In confessional, Deep Dee says that in this bridal outfit, she absolutely feels like a bride. But then she says, I could feel like a bride all day, but will I really be a wife at the end of this?
Yeah.
I don't know. So she's finally starting to like float back down to earth.
Right.
Mallory comes out in a boring dress. She tells us in confessional that she and Sal have had a few hard days and not having her mom and her sister there is really hard and seeing the other women with their families is bittersweet. So then she comes out in a new dress. It's very classic and pretty, but she's making an I pooped my pants face.
Yeah. I mean, Mallory's a beautiful woman. So in every dress, I can see that she doesn't love Sal.
Oh, yes. The picking of the dress is a metaphor for the picking of Sal, I think.
Right. And then she says she's sweating because she doesn't love Sal. And I was like, great. I guess we're done here.
Yeah. And nobody is paying attention to her face or her body language or any of her physical signals. She's like, it's the same, which I think she means as the first one. But everyone's like, no, girl. Oh, my God. Girl, oh, you're so beautiful. You're so beautiful. So finally, she's like, this feels really good. And then her friend says, I think this is it. Which is not your call. So Mallory seems to feel about her dress the same way she feels about Sal. It's like, well, I didn't mean to get into this, but okay. All right, here I am. I guess this is my dress. I gotta figure this thing out.
And then Natalie comes out in a white dress.
Floofy dress.
And then Ayana comes out in another white dress.
Yeah, it looks like a costume from Frozen the musical.
It does.
Everyone's like, oh, ooh, ah. But she's like, calm down. I don't like it. I feel small. I don't like it. It doesn't feel like a bridal thing. So she comes out with another one and everyone says, ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh, ah. And then she has a tiara on with like ribbons down the back and she absolutely looks like a woodland pixie.
Yeah.
She's too good for that fucking man. Jesus Christ.
And then Danielle comes out in a dress and her mom's like, no.
No.
No. That's a no.
No. And everybody laughs because that's absurd for you to say.
Next.
And then she says,
we definitely know we don't like that one.
Who's we?
Yeah. That's a no, right? Show of hands for that being a no.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's Christ. A no. No, absolutely. That's a no. So change out of that one as fast as possible because it's a no.
So then Danielle informs us that she's incredibly insecure because we didn't fucking know that already.
This could be someone's first episode, Daisy.
Well, if it is, bleh. This is the second dress she tries on. It's gorgeous. I guess Mama, whatever the fuck her name is, likes that one better. And Danielle says she looks beautiful, and it's very rare that she looks in the mirror and thinks she looks beautiful, so it's a very big deal. And I do think we should celebrate the fact that Danielle is like, I look beautiful. Like, that's good.
Right. But hang on to that emotion.
I also want to say that in confessional, Ayana says she's stressed out, and it also does seem like Ayana is starting to sort of float back down to earth a little bit as well. Her intuition is clearly screaming at her to not do this. And she's like trying to push it away. She's like, well, I'm trying not to let my fears take over. I'm like, girl, this is the time to let your fears take over because they are being honest with you in this moment. So now we're with the men getting their suits and all they get is brown liquor because that's what men drink.
Guess who's here, Daisy?
Our favorite.
Gentlemen, gentlemen.
What's up? Good morning.
How's it going?
Morning. Come on in.
How we doing?
Hey. Find a spot.
Oh, man.
Take a seat.
Come on, take a seat.
Good morning. Good morning.
How's everybody?
Good, good. Good morning,
gentlemen, how we feeling? Good. It's a big day. Yeah. It's a big day.
Nick Lachey, he walks in to this haberdashery store, what have you. And he's like, gentlemen, how am I feeling?
Hey, pew, pew, pew.
I was like, are you playing a gig at a nursing home? I said, how am I feeling? Like, is clearly mistaken this for a truck stop off the 22 where 98 degrees has just played. Speaking of which, did you hear that Justin Timberlake got arrested for a DUI?
Yeah, and he was like, this is going to ruin the tour. And the arresting officer had no idea who he was.
Had no idea who he was. That is the funniest thing. Nick Lachey's like, hee, 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 hee. Nick Lachey hired that guy. You know he did.
Fuck Justin Timberlake. That guy sucks.
Does he suck?
You know that he forced Britney to have an abortion.
Was it him or was it his people? I don't know. I'm genuinely asking.
I don't know.
Like, I feel like it would be his people. But listen, if you tell me we hate him, we hate him.
Yeah, I think it's him and his people. So Nick asks Shane who he brought. He brought his brother Brent, his best friend Tyler, and Nick asks them what they think of this whole thing. And Tyler's like, it's crazy, but it's perfect for Shane. Nick tells the men that hopefully you'll only have to do this once. That's so funny.
That's, you know what's hilarious? Mm. Divorce.
Yeah.
And carnies.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember Jessica Simpson was on Dave Letterman right before they were getting married. And he was like, oh, is this a starter marriage? And I just thought that was so fucking tacky. Like, yeah. Come on, man. I mean, yes, obviously it is, but come on, man.
We don't need to say it out loud.
No. Shake tells his dudes, Ethan and some other guy whose name I don't think we ever get, that once again, he's trying to talk himself in to this. And he says, look, arranged marriages have been a part of Indian culture for thousands and thousands of years. And they have an incredibly high success rate. And, you know, those people are based on compatibility and, you know, they gave me the perfect woman.
She checks all the boxes. Boxes I didn't even know I had. Deeps is so amazing.
I love her.
Deeps is so amazing. Deeps is so amazing. I'm going to charge him. Every time he says Deeps is so amazing, he's going to give me a dollar.
Yes, he sure is. His friends could not look less interested in what he's saying. Ethan is definitely thinking about baseball. Shake says proposing to Deep D was not a tough decision at all. He's like, I love her. I really love her. I swear. I love her. Okay. I love her. And then Ethan sort of checks back in and he's like, yeah, I knew a week into dating my wife that I wanted to marry her. And that sounds like similar to what you're feeling because he was absolutely not paying attention.
Right.
And we cut to Shake going, yeah. Oh, yeah. Looking down. Clearly, his eyes are saying, how do I get out of this fucking hole that I've dug myself into?
Yeah. And so there's more boring man talk. What's the key to marriage? Communication.
Blah, 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 blah.
What are your differences? It is so vapid and staged. Like, this is always the worst episode.
Oh, I hate
it. Just try
it.
On your outfits and
we
see what makes your ass look the best and see what makes your titties pop.
Yeah.
Why are we talking?
No. Although I will say, this is where we find out that Ayana wants to get a certification as a doula. Yay, doulas. You know I'm a doula.
Yeah, great. So whatever. I think they all got their outfits.
Yeah.
Now we go to Mal and Sal's, and Sal is cooking dinner for her because they've had a couple of hard days and he wants to make it romantic. Now I have two issues with this scene.
Yeah.
Number one, he is chopping up garlic, onions, red peppers, bell peppers. You have romance on your mind and you plan on shitting your pants tonight?
Yes.
That sounds oily and that sounds heavy on the stomach. And then he says, Daisy?
Yeah.
He says, I'm making my famous stir fry.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as he says stir fry, they play Latin music.
It's about to get real.
They're like, I was like, number one, stir fry is 100% a Chinese dish.
He's even using a fucking wok.
It's like every time Shane comes in, he's like, everything. Every time he talks, it's like Selena playing in the background.
It's so racist.
It is so weird. And the music is so abrupt. Like, they're playing, like, we don't talk about Bruno. Like, it's so inappropriate.
They're like, oh, he's cooking? Put the salsa music underneath it.
Yeah.
But he's making stir fry.
He's
Latino. Put the salsa music behind it.
And then, like, a m'lady comes. She's like, hello, Salvador.
Do you want to marry Gigi?
And then Ricky Ricardo's in the back. He's like, Babalu, Babalu, Babalu.
He's lighting candles. He's pouring wine. He's putting flowers and rose petals everywhere. And I swear to God, she's going to walk in and go, oh my God, it's so cute.
This is where I'm starting to get the ick with Sal. Is he rehearsed? Is this an act?
No, I think he is a romantic.
Do you think he really is like this?
I do. I really do. I think that his sisters trained him.
Okay, because I had some cynicism creep in.
No, I think that this is what he's like. I think he's like, you know, when your woman is down, make her your famous shrimp and veggie stir fry over linguine. Put the petals and the candles and the blah, blah, blah. She doesn't say it's so cute. She gasps and she's like, oh, it's so sweet. So they sit down and she says they've been through a lot together. It's been emotions on steroids and they knew that coming back to the real world was going to be the hardest part. She says she's happy that they've had hard conversations instead of shutting down and saying I'm done. But let's remember that she was like, okay, this is okay, but let me tell you, if it happens again, if anything hard comes up,
yeah,
I'm done.
I don't do hard things.
He hasn't given this woman one fucking ultimatum and she's like, well, your ex showed up. Okay, but one more thing and we're going to be finished.
That's all I can take. Whatever, they have good conversation. Mallory thinks he's romantic.
Yeah, they have dinner. Who cares? She tells us in confessional that Sal is the most romantic person she has ever been around, and she can be her truest and most vulnerable self with him, and that's how she knows she loves him. I mean, she should just know that she loves him, but okay. She's really desperately trying to talk herself into this. So I don't even remember what happens between them, but this is hard to watch.
She's not there. It's an act. It's a farcical. Yeah. It's a high school musical. No, she's, it's nothing. I don't believe anything that comes out of her mouth.
Mm-mm.
I'm starting not to believe Sal. I'm totally gaslighting myself into believing that somehow Sal is trying to get a record deal out of this. I don't know. I am just out to fucking lunch. Nick and Danielle, though.
Oh, boy.
Here is some drama I invested in. They're going to get cake testing.
Yeah.
And before she walks in, she says, I wonder if the gluten-free cake tastes like the regular cake. Is Nick gluten-free?
I guess so.
Oh,
with his
boy.
Homemade toothpaste, whatever the fuck else that she can't stand. So they're with a cake baker named Igor, who puts 8 slices of cake in front of them, including carrot cake. Let me tell you something. If you choose carrot cake for your wedding cake, you're a monster.
Wow. I love carrot cake with a cream cheese frosting or filling.
I bet you like it with fucking raisins in it, too.
No, I don't. So don't
for
make that
a wedding cake?
Thing. I had cupcakes at my wedding. It still ended in divorce. Cupcakes are hilarious.
No, not carrot cake. So then Danielle, fucking Danielle's all over everything again.
But then we're running into conflicts now where it's like, these are things that, like, if we were dating for 3 weeks, we probably would have stopped because we would have differing opinions.
Well, you think something's happened that we would have stopped dating?
No, not to stop dating, but just you.
There's things you learn early
on. Sunday,
like
I had plans for weeks to go somewhere that all my friends from out of town were going to be at.
Mm-hmm.
And you're upset that I went.
Not upset that you went.
You were kind of upset that I went.
That's not true.
You said, is this how every weekend's going to be?
I was wondering, I'm like, is every weekend going to be we do separate things and we don't
because I did
do
one
things
night
together.
Something separate. Okay. Like going for a few hours with my sister on a birthday weekend to a friend's house.
And who had a problem with it? I didn't.
It seemed like you did.
It seemed.
You acted concerned after the fact.
I just said, I'm thinking about this. It's important to me that
that's
we have time. It's literally all I've said. I'm like, if every weekend was like you going out with your friends and me doing my thing, we never
that's
had time.
That's never been the case. I'm not even remotely the case. So why are you assuming that?
When you know someone in real life for 2 weeks, you don't have a lot of time that you can assess.
In confessional, he tells us that at dinner, they were talking about whether or not they were going to say yes. And he asked her, when will I be invited to go out with you and your friends and stuff? And when will they have time to go out, just the two of them? He never said you're not allowed to go out with your friends. I don't like it. Back at the cake tasting table, they cannot agree on what Nick said or didn't say, except that Danielle is definitely just paraphrasing whatever Nick actually did say with whatever was filtered through her fucking self-hatred. He's like, when did I say I'm upset with who you went out with or that you went out. I never said that you're not allowed to go out with your friends. And she said, you said, is this going to happen every weekend? Those are two very different statements.
Nick and Danielle's arguments sound like a fucking SNL skit, okay? They go from being lighthearted and sweet, literally, we're eating cake, to being triggered by a word or a phrase or a motion or a breath. And then in comes the suspenseful music to under... And then it is a full-on Nick... He gets lip sweats, then he gets the forehead sweats.
This man is doing everything he can do. Everything he can do.
We were talking about cake.
Cake, bitch.
And she changes this and makes cake into an argument.
I know, I like this cake, I do, but it makes me think about all the other problems that we're gonna have.
Yeah,
really?
Because when I think of chocolate mousse... I think of the time someone called me a moose.
And so I think that you chose the chocolate mousse because you think I'm a moose.
Because you hate me. So
I can't trust anything you say.
And then we're eating on this table and you said that my friends couldn't come dance on my kitchen table. How dare you, sir?
Yeah.
I feel crazy. Like, I feel like they added Nick and Danielle just to like, fuck with us. Like, they're AI, they're robots. Like, this isn't real. They're like, we need to fuck with these
people. This will be fun.
Because they are talking about cake, you all.
I know.
And they almost break up.
Yeah, she's like, it's things like that that we would walk away if we'd only been dating. And he's like, wait, what? In confessional, Danielle says that having these conversations still just a week before the wedding is terrifying. Then stop having them. Stop
then
having them.
Stop fighting. Stop starting fights with each other.
It's not even him. It's her.
You were talking about cake, which is like, if we all just ate cake all day long,
life would be great. I mean, we'd be, you know.
We would have diabetes.
Yeah.
The not hereditary kind.
No.
I don't know what else to say. And I'm telling you, you can't see your friends. Never said that once. I wouldn't ever be like that.
It's just hard for me to like trust what you say sometimes when you kind of dance around the issue and then feel a certain way after something happened. I am being extremely realistic about whether or not this is going to work out, and we have 1 week to figure it out.
And he is running out of patience with this woman. I can't believe he's made it this far.
I am running out of patience with this woman. I'm about to quit this fucking podcast and turn this car around until that woman makes some sense.
So you remember earlier when you were like, if you wanted to get out of a podcast, what would you say? No, your earphones are fine. No, Ellen, your
headphones broke.
No, the headphones are fine. You can hear me okay. What are you looking at?
I think these headphones are broken.
No, your headphones aren't broken.
I don't know if I...
What are you looking for?
Hair.
What are you looking for? What is up there? What's up on the ceiling? Something's on the ceiling?
I guess I'll wait for Daisy to... I can't hear her. So
you can't hear me.
Daisy, if you can hear me, my headphones are broken.
Your headphones are broken.
Yep.
Why are they on your head then if they're broken? Where are you looking at? What's on the ceiling?
A bat.
A bat?
Yep.
A bat in your recording studio.
Yeah.
Well, we got to go because Ellen has a bat in her recording studio. So we got to end this episode.
Bye.
Thanks so much for joining us. We're on the general feed now. Go listen there. Listen to one of our other 18 podcasts.
We have so many podcasts.
So many.
Us. Can you just subscribe to all of them?
All
you
of
don't
them.
Even have to listen.
No.
Just subscribe to them.
Yes.
And then just tell us we're pretty every 6 months. If everyone does that.
Once in a while.
Every 6 months, we're covered. We have the calendar covered.
I prefer good looking, but you can take pretty.
You're so exhausting.
I love you.
I love you.
Hey, Ellen.
Shut the fuck up. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Daisy,
yes,
if you can hear me, shut
the
fuck
up.
Because I can't hear you.
Shut the fuck up.
If anyone can hear Daisy, tell her I said shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up.